We thank you for this night. And we thank you for this tender moment that we are in, where we could declare your greatness and your goodness. Many of us thought of those childhood tables where we gave thanks, saying, God is great and God is good. Oh Lord, that is so precious. So God, as we turn to your word now, in this place, we pray that you would speak directly and clearly to our hearts. Speak that our souls may hear. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus, saying together, amen and amen. Friends, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them and turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. We continue with the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 3. The scope of the text tonight will be 3, 4 through 4, chapter 18. I want to read for us a couple of verses, 3, 4, and then 10 and 11. Here we go. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Some of your Bibles render it, here am I. Now in verse 10. And now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses, say that with me, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? When we left Moses, he had made that great faith declaration, here I am. God had said, Moses, Moses, and Moses said to God, here I am. It's where he committed himself to the way of God. And then in a half dozen verses, he flinched. It only took about 6 verses for Moses to go from here am I to who am I? I mean, God had called him. He said, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here am I. And then God told him what he was going to do. And Moses said, who am I to do this? Our lives have been shaped by hymns. We just sang some beautiful ones tonight. And of all the hymn writers that have touched our lives, Fanny Crosby is one who's probably put a dent on most of our souls. If Meredith sits down at a piano, she's going to get around to playing a Fanny Crosby song, and it will always be that one about, Lord, here am I, that one that takes this story of Moses and sets it to music. There's a great line in that hymn. It goes like this, Master, thou callest, and I gladly obey. Only direct me and I'll find the way. Teach me the mission appointed for me. What is my labor and where shall it be? Master, thou callest, and this I reply. Ready and willing, Lord, here am I. That's where it started with Moses. He's singing, Lord, here am I. And then like us, he flinched. I'm glad Fanny Crosby had the soul whole song in her heart. Because she goes in verse 3 and says, I'm mortal. You are divine. Pardon me whenever I turn from the right. Pity and bring me back to the light. Now Moses didn't pray anything that eloquent before God. But Moses prayed. If prayer is talking to God. What happens in the next couple of chapters is he talks to God and it's messy and gritty, a little bit ugly, kind of whiny. He just tells God why he doesn't believe he's up to doing what God has called him to do. You ever prayed like that? But God hears all that, receives it, and turns Moses back to the right and back to the light. I suspect in this room tonight there's a few people who years ago said to the Lord, here am I. But right now you're living in a place where you're saying, who am I to do what God has called me to do? Well, God turned Moses, and in this tabernacle, in this old camp meeting, on these grounds, in this hour, on this night, he can turn me and he can turn you. And you do it in a similar way he did for Moses. What did God do? How did he turn him around? Well, God offers him the gifts of his presence, his personal name, his power, and his people. Let's look at those in turn. First, to turn Moses' heart back to the right, back to a here I am position from a who am I position, God offers up his very presence. Look at verse 12 with me, where God says to Moses, assuredly, I will be with you. Assuredly, I will be with you. God didn't say, I want you to go to Egypt. Good luck, sport. He said, Moses, here I am. I have a job for you and you're going to Egypt. Assuredly, I will be with you. This may be the great promise of the scriptures. In Genesis 28:15, Jacob at Bethel hears from God, I will be with you. Later in Deuteronomy 31:6, the promise of God to the people of God, I will be with you. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, when that church was being pressured and put upon and persecuted for their love of Christ, and their money was dwindling because it was all tied up in their faithfulness, and they were having to not compromise their commitment to the gospel, and it was costing them month after month, week after week, and they were worried about their resources. And God said to them through that epistle, don't worry. God is with you. Psalm 23, we pray it. I will not fear. Why? For thou art with me. Jesus, when he sends his own disciples out, as God was sending Moses out, he said, I want you to go. And that old King James Bible, it rhymes, so I use it all the time. He said, go, for lo, I will be with you. Reinhard Bonnke, the Pentecostal evangelist who gave his life for the continent of Africa, said, Christ's Great Commission is not a scrap of paper blown to our feet from centuries ago. It is Jesus standing in the midst of his church saying, go, lo, I am with you. You see, we can lose our nerve and flinch. Our churches can lose our nerve and flinch. We can go from here am I to who am I? And in those moments, we need to hear God say again, assuredly, I will be with you. Well, you'd think that'd get it done, but it didn't get it done. Because Moses is struggling with this. He is struggling with this. And he says, God, maybe I go down there and I don't really know how to talk about you. And they ask me, what is your name? What do I tell them? Not only does God give us his presence, he reveals to us his personal name. Well, in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he says, this is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. I am has sent you. I am. This answer to Moses' question is both an answer to his question and a refusal to answer his question. You see, back in the day, people thought if you knew the name of a God, you could control that God. It was like cracking the code. It was like the rabbit's foot. It was like, if I know the name, it was like an incantation. He said, God, give me the code. Give me the entrance code. Tell me your name. And God gives him an answer, but he refuses the answer. He says, I am who I am. I will be known by my acts of redemption. I am who I am. Not to be put in your pocket, not to be controlled by you, but to be one to trust and follow as I reveal myself in my mighty acts of redemption in the history of this world. You tell them, I am sent you. Years later, Jesus in John chapter 8 is in a conversation with the people of God. And they're confused at his presence. They're concerned. They want to know who he is. Some of them don't want to know who he is. And Jesus says at the end of John chapter 8, he says, your father Abraham was overjoyed that he would see my day. And he saw it and rejoiced. So the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old. And you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, before Abraham was born, do you know what follows that? I am. And they knew he was claiming to be God, because in verse 59 it says, therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and he left the temple grounds. In Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God tabernacled among us in flesh. And he revealed to us his name. And it's the same name the Lord has always carried. I am. James Mays says, Yahweh's name is not a definition to master. Rather, Yahweh's name is a promise to trust. Moses said, who am I? I don't know your name. God said, my name is I am. I'll be known by my mighty acts of redemption. Trust me. Well, you think that'd be enough? But Moses is a lot like us. And it wasn't. He said, I don't know. Who am I? I don't know. And God gives to Moses the promise of his power. Look at chapter 3, verse 20. God said to Moses, so I will reach out with my hand. Now look at chapter 4, verse 2. Then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? God gives him this rhythm of my hand, thy hand, my hand, your hand. God says, I will stretch out my hand and do mighty works in Egypt. And God said, Moses, what's in your hand? He said, I have a stick in my hand. He said, this common staff will become the rod of God, and with it I will join you in the work that I have called you to do, to deliver my people. And this rhythm of my hand, thy hand, has been the way God has worked with the people from that moment forward. Paul would say, I work diligently. Then he would catch himself and he would say, but it was God that was at work in me. I worked harder than any of them, but it was God that was at work. My hand went to work, but it was God's outstretched hand that deserves the glory. In Acts chapter 4, 24 to 30, there's the prayer of the early church, and they pray, God, stretch forth your hand and give us boldness. God's hand, our hand. God has promised to clothe us with his power. T.B. Maston said we need to cultivate the art of tarrying until we are conscious of his presence, until we feel the touch of the divine spirit. Our going into the world to witness for him by the spoken word and the life we live will be effective to the degree we have been clothed with power from on high. Moses said, who am I? God said, my hand. What's in yours? That rod becomes the rod of God. God gives us his power. You think that'd be enough? But alas, it wasn't. And old Moses was still like, who am I? Who am I? I've quit asking people in job interviews what your weaknesses are. It's kind of like just asking people, are you willing to lie to me? And it's not all that diagnostic anyway, because people just say, well, I just work too hard and I care too much, da 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 da. A better way to go about it is just ask a person what their strengths are. If you know a man or a woman's strengths, you also know their weaknesses, because their weaknesses are almost always their strengths, just a little out of whack. Think about that for a minute. I'm right about this. Later in the Torah, I would say of Moses, he was the most humble man that walked the face of the earth. That was his great strength. And his weakness was that strength out of whack. After all this, he's still thinking, who am I? And he says, God, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. I don't want to go. And God gets angry with him. And sometimes, friends, anger is a kindness, because it recognizes the dignity and the value in the other. God just had it. He'd had it with this. And you see, in 4:14, the final gift he gives to Moses, he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. Your brother Aaron, he can go with you. He can be your mouth. And you be the ears that listen to my voice. And two by two, you do the work that needs to be done. And since then, God's been sending folk out two by two. And the work of God has been a communal effort. It's been the work of the people of God. And when we stand there quaking in fear, trembling at the call that God puts on our life, even after we have said, here am I, when we're there in those moments and we're saying, who am I? God says, you're part of a community. And together, I will pour out my power. And I will stretch forth my hand, and I will reveal my name, and I assuredly will be with you, and you will go forward, and you will serve my purposes in this earth. And those that are in shackles and chains will be set free, and those who need to get out of their slavery will be freed from their slavery, and the work of God will be revealed in this earth. God is stubbornly consistent. And he's not changed a single moment since that day. And when we stand frail like Moses stands, or he stood, God is present to turn our hearts and to offer us the same graces that he offered Moses. The promise of his presence, the revelation of his name, I am. His power and his people. Tonight in this room, we are building altars. We have been doing that all week. We have been coming to moments of crisis where we're dealing with what God is calling us to deal with. And the things that Moses faced, we face. And some of us in different seasons are facing different pressures that Moses faced, but those were divine pressures. God interrupted his life as he interrupts ours. And for some of you tonight, it could be that you're at that early place where you're just now beginning to realize that God knows your name and has a purpose for your life, that God whispers your name out and says it twice with affection, that God has come for you in Christ. Maybe you're one of these kids or teenagers who's just been confronted with the claims of the gospel for the first time, and you have never publicly received or declared or professed your faith in Christ. Some of you in this moment need to say to God, "Here am I." Many of us have done that. But in various ways, we know what God would have us to do with our life for his glory and for the good of others. But we're holding back on that because we're in a place where we're saying, "Who am I?" You're praying God would raise up people to do the work of God, and God's calling you up. That's some of you. For the whole of us, knowing that God works in groups, you might be thinking, "Man, it's been a weird couple of years as church goes. We've been sort of stirred up, and our concerns have been about resources." And friends, resources aren't going to be our issue. The issue is life, vitality. I remember being in this room last year where Dwayne Brooks said, "We're concerned about people getting in the church. What if we were concerned about God filling up the church?" I've thought about that all year. Tonight, this is the invitation. We're going to sing a song, "Wherever He Leads, I Go." Now, that's a dangerous song to sing. You might want to sit it out. But if you sing it, let it be a real prayer. And for some of you, he might lead you to come down one of these aisles and take Bill's hand or my hand and say, "I want to follow Christ. Here I am standing before God saying, 'Here I am.'" Some of you, it might be to say, "Look, I am so cold in my heart toward God. I just don't know who I am." He does. You're his daughter. You're his son. He knows your name and has a purpose for your life. He's got a calling for you to live out his purposes in your world in concrete and real ways. Some of you, he might be turning your heart back to him tonight. And you might just want to come and kneel and pray. Or you might want to turn to a friend and say, "That is me. Would you pray for me?" Some of you are leaders in churches. One of the great things about Paisano is that we come from many different churches, churches all over the place, many churches in the state of Texas. Some of you are in churches that are in moments of transition, looking for pastors, praying about leadership. You're leaders in those churches. Wouldn't it be great if we began to pray for God to touch our churches with the fresh outstretching of his hand? Wouldn't it be great if we did that tonight? So if you're a leader in one of those churches and you just have a hunger to see God be God and for us to quit going, "Who am I and what are we going to do?" For we would boldly say, "Here I am, God," and we would hear God say, "I'm with you." Because you know what happened after all that stuff? After God worked in Moses' life, you know what he did? He went to Jethro. He went and told another person. He went to Jethro and he said to Jethro, "Watch this." He said, "Jethro, I gotta go. I gotta go." And by God, he went. So maybe it's time to go to Jethro. just another human being, and say, it's time. Would you stand with me? Would you respond? Would you sing? Would you let God turn your heart? Would you let God be God? Mm-hmm.